I'd like to share with you this evening some brief thoughts about two very well-known stories involving the resurrected Christ that are found in the last chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 21. As I say, these are very familiar stories. So I'm reading from verse 1 through to 18. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." So the first thing we notice is that some of the disciples went fishing. There were seven of them. Whether that number is significant or not, I don't know. There is debate amongst commentators about whether they were right to go or not. Some argue that Jesus had called them to be fishers of men, so they shouldn't have been trying to catch fish. Others argue that they had every right to do this, and the scripture doesn't tell us one way or the other. Certainly Jesus doesn't admonish them in any way. When the Lord gives you a specific task to do, that should be your main priority. But it doesn't mean that it must be exclusive. Remember that Paul continued to make tents from time to time. And then after a night of unsuccessful fishing, the disciples encountered Jesus on the seashore, although they did not realise it was him at first. And then following his instruction to cast the net on the right side of the boat, the disciples were soon struggling to drag in the huge number of fish. But John sees this, sees the fact that the man on the shore knew where the fish were as an indication that it was in fact Jesus. So they head to shore with Peter in the lead. He was so eager that he threw himself into the sea, in verse 7. These were skilled, experienced fishermen, yet despite toiling all night, they had caught nothing. Does this happen sometimes? I suppose it does. But perhaps it is a reminder of Jesus' words in John 15 and verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then our passage goes on to tell us about the first Christian men's breakfast. So there were no bacon sandwiches, of course, but they had fish and bread. And we read here of the remarkable willingness of Jesus to serve his disciples as he meets their needs, meets their physical needs. No doubt the disciples were tired and hungry from a night of labour. But the Lord took the time to prepare the fish and the bread for them to eat. Jesus had been exalted in his resurrection, yet he did not think it beneath him to continue to serve others as he had done before his death. And this provides us with another example of how believers are to care for one another. This is a lovely, sweet example of Jesus' love and care for his disciples. And that same love and care extends to all his church throughout the ages, including us right here today. Notice that when the disciples got to shore, fish were already cooking on the fire. Jesus did not need their provisions. He himself had provided the food for the breakfast. Nevertheless, he also took some of the fish that they had caught and used them too. Jesus does not need our service, our time, our goods, or our money. But all the same, he is pleased to use what we offer him as a token of our love. At breakfast, the rest of the disciples realised that they were eating with their Lord. Yet they did not dare to ask him about this. This suggests some fear on the part of the disciples, which is quite understandable. They were still adjusting to the idea that their master was back from the dead. And after all, who wouldn't be a little nervous in the presence of a man who had been raised from the dead? Let alone in the presence of a man who is also God incarnate in a glorified physical body. We've become so accustomed to these stories that it's easy for us to miss the awe that the disciples no doubt felt in the presence of the resurrected Lord. And we shouldn't let our familiarity with the story blind us to just who Jesus actually is. He is the incarnate Lord of glory, whom we should fear in reverent awe. And then the lovely sweet story of Jesus cooking breakfast for 7 disciples is followed immediately by another lovely sweet story. Our narrative goes on to tell us of the restoration of Peter. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 61-62, we have recorded what seems to me to be one of the most moving and saddest incidents in Scripture. After Peter had denied being a disciple of Jesus 3 times, we read, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." In this passage tonight, we read the account of Peter's restoration to the ministry. Jesus asked Peter 3 times whether he loved Jesus more than these. And this question is significant because we know from the Gospels that Peter was quick to speak and to act in a display of love and honour for Jesus, though sometimes his zeal had led him to do and say things that he should not have. 3 times Jesus posed the question to Peter, which parallels the 3 denials. Just as Peter rejected Jesus 3 times, he would have to confess Jesus 3 times in order to be restored to the ministry. Jesus gave Peter the duty of shepherding his people, of teaching them the truth that feeds their souls. And of course, this wasn't limited to Peter, but was extended to all the apostles. And Peter explains that it was also given to the elders throughout the church age in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter is clearly forgiven his denial. There's no record of his confession for his sin. Some assume that this must have taken place on one or other of the occasions when Peter met with the resurrected Christ, but nothing is recorded. If we sin consciously as believers, we should want to confess this and receive explicit forgiveness from the Lord. We should want the damage to our relationship to be dealt with. But in any event, we have forgiveness because he paid the price once for all for our sin, past, present and future. These were dealt with at the cross. Amen.